The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 7. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari. Recorded on June 21st, 2011. Inkhasadesh.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yada yada hi dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata, Glanir Bhavati Bharata, Abhyutanam Madharmasya, Abhyutanam Madharmasya, Tadatmanam Shrajamyaham, Tadatmanam Shrajamyaham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. The word Shrajami is significant herein. Shrajami cannot be used in the sense of creation because according to the previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form or body, since all of the forms are eternally existent. Therefore, Shrajami means that the Lord manifests Himself as He is. Although the Lord appears on schedule, namely at the end of the Dwarpa Yuga of the 28th millennium and the 7th Manu and one day of Brahma, He has no obligation to adhere to such rules and regulations, because He is completely free to act in many ways at His will. He therefore appears by His own will whenever there is a predominance of irreligiosity and disappearance of true religion. Principles of religion are laid down in the Vedas, and any discrepancy in the matter of properly executing the rules of the Vedas makes one irreligious. In the Bhagavatam it is stated that such principles are the laws of the Lord. Only the Lord can manufacture a system of religion. The Vedas are also accepted as originally spoken by the Lord Himself to Brahma from within His heart. Therefore, the principles of Dharma or religion are the direct orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharman susakshat bhagavat pranitam, Bhagavatam 6.3.19. These principles are clearly indicated throughout the Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of the Vedas is to establish such principles under the order of the Supreme Lord, and the Lord directly orders at the end of the Gita that the highest principle of religion is to surrender unto Him only and nothing more. The Vedic principles push one towards complete surrender unto Him, and whenever such principles are disturbed by the demoniac, the Lord appears. From the Bhagavatam we understand that Lord Buddha is the incarnation of Krishna, who appeared when materialism was rampant and materialists were using the pretext of the authority of the Vedas. Although there are certain restrictive rules and regulations regarding animal sacrifice for particular purposes in the Vedas, people of demonic tendencies still took to animal sacrifice without reference to the Vedic principles. Lord Buddha appeared to stop this nonsense and to establish the Vedic principles of nonviolence. Therefore, each and every avatar, or incarnation of the Lord, has a particular mission, and they are all described in the revealed scriptures. No one should be accepted as an avatar unless he is referred to by scriptures. It is not a fact that the Lord appears only on Indian soil. He can manifest Himself anywhere and everywhere, and whenever he desires to appear. In each and every incarnation, he speaks as much about religion as can be understood by the particular people, under their particular circumstances. But the mission is the same, to lead people to God consciousness and obedience to the principles of religion. Sometimes he descends personally, and sometimes he sends his bona fide representative in the form of his son or servant, or himself in some disguised form. The principles of the Bhagavad Gita were spoken to Arjuna, and for that matter to other highly elevated persons, because he was highly advanced compared to ordinary persons in other parts of the world. 2 + 2 = 4 is a mathematical principle that is true in the beginner's arithmetic class and in the advanced class as well. Still, there are higher and lower mathematics. In all incarnations of the Lord, therefore, the same principles are taught, but they appear to be higher and lower in various circumstances. The higher principles of religion begin with the acceptance of the 4 orders and the 4 statuses of social life, as will be explained later. The whole process of the mission of the incarnations is to arouse Krishna consciousness everywhere. Such consciousness is manifest and non-manifest, only under different circumstances. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jathapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamscha. So we have come to your country to share with you this sublime science of Krishna consciousness. We have not come to introduce another religion to your country. But we have come to connect you with your actual nature. As I was explaining this morning, a fish, if he is out of the water, he cannot be happy. No matter how much facility you give the fish on the land, he will never be satisfied. He will always be frustrated. So now we are fish out of water. Even though we are eternal spiritual beings, even though we are qualitatively one with the Supreme Self, we have misidentified ourselves with this gross lump of matter, the material body. The material body is made of gross elements. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Plus there is a subtle body of mind, intelligence, and false ego. As long as you continue to identify with this gross and subtle energy, you will miss the boat, as they say in English. And missing the boat means you won't get the happiness you are seeking. You can try to become happy by advancing yourself materially. What will be the final result? You'll become miserable. Because whatever material advancement you may make, it is all taken away at the time of death. One time, Yamaraj, he questioned Maharaj Yudhisthira. What is the most wonderful thing in this world? Maharaj Yudhisthira very wisely answered, Ahani ahani bhutani ganchantiya yamalayam shesha stavaram ichchami kim mashchayam atahaparam. You know the Sanskrit? You don't know Sanskrit? You don't even know the Sanskrit? No one has studied Sanskrit. Well, that's all right. That's all right. We'll give you the translation. Maharaj Yudhisthira is saying this. At every moment, countless numbers of living beings are being dragged to the court of Yamaraj, the god of death. But those who remain here, they will think, oh, I have no problems, I will live for a very long time. I will not die anytime soon. And then, kim mashchaya mataha padam, there is nothing more amazing than this. We are all thinking, oh yes, I will live a very long time. Even an old man, he thinks, I will live a very long time. This is called illusion. We're all thinking we'll live a very long time. But death can come at any minute. As we were flying from Hong Kong into Chengdu last night, we hit some heavy turbulence as we were coming in for the landing. And I was thinking, this may be it. It may be all over now, finished. I may die now. You better be ready, you know. One time, Prabhupada was flying in Africa. And his secretary, Pushta Krishna, he was on the airplane with Prabhupada. And sometimes there is like a pocket in the air where the plane just falls. There's like an area where there's no, like a vacuum or something. It's called a pocket, and the airplane falls. So that happened when when Prabhupada was flying with Pushta Krishna on the airplane. Pushta Krishna, Prabhu, he told the story. He said it felt like your stomach was in your head. So after the plane became stabilized, Pushta Krishna, he walked up to Prabhupada's seat. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, are you okay? And Prabhupada very calmly said, we can die at any time. So Prabhupada wasn't any disturbed at all. He's saying, well, if death wants to come now, that's all right, I don't mind. I can die at any time, it's not a big deal. Prabhupada is thinking, I can die at any time, no problem. And we see a similar story during World War II in Calcutta. Those Japanese, they were bombing Calcutta. So in every house they had a bomb shelter. When the bombs fall, you go into the basement to get away from the bombs, called bomb shelter. Or you go to some nearby place, but everyone would go for a bomb shelter, a place where you can be safe from the bombs. So, but Prabhupada, he's taking his prasad. And Prabhupada would not just eat like a dog, just shoveling in, you know. Prabhupada, if Prabhupada takes prasadam, it's like puja, you know. Prasadam puja. It's a meditation for Prabhupada. He would very peacefully and meditatively take honor the prasadam of the Lord, you see. So Prabhupada is sitting there taking prasad. And the bombs are falling. So now just wait, make a little space here. Sakshi Charan Gopal Prabhu can sit here. Make a little space for him to come through. Yes, he can sit here. Yeah. Right. Welcome. So, the bombs are falling and Prabhupada is honoring prasad. Everyone else is running from the bomb shelter, you see. But Prabhupada, no, he's just honoring prasad. And he's seeing how the bombs are falling from the sky. You see the Japanese, they are attacking Calcutta, dropping the bombs. And so Prabhupada, he said, so the bombs are falling. Chikam. But Prabhupada, he was not worried. He was simply saying, oh, here, Krishna, here comes Krishna. You see, Krishna says, Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham, I am all devouring death. So these bombs, they are Krishna. So I have nothing to be afraid. I was simply honored prasad, you see. And of course, Krishna protected Prabhupada. No bombs hit his house, you see. So in this way, we have to always be transcendental to the law of death. We have to always remember that I am not this body. I am the eternal servant of God. And then we become abhay, we become fearless. A devotee has nothing to fear in any situation. Because what's the worst thing that can happen to you? The worst thing that can happen to you is death. So if death is not a fearful thing, then there's nothing to fear. You see? So this Krishna consciousness movement, it is the greatest blessing upon the human society. Because it is blessing everyone with their eternal nature as a spirit soul. If you become actually Krishna conscious, you become deathless. Death cannot touch you. Because for a devotee, his body is just like a garment, you see. It's not a big deal. Just like I had one nice kurta. And I walked through one door in Australia and that kurta caught on the door and ripped, the kurta was ruined, you see. Completely ruined it. It went rip, ruined kurta, you see. So was I in anxiety? No, I had another kurta. Just throw it away, put on another one. No big deal. So a devotee, his body is just like a kurta, you know. And I have many kurtas in my closet, there's no problem. And if body is destroyed, it's not a problem. I'll just take another one. Krishna will give me another body, you see. I'm completely pure devotee, I'll wake up in my spiritual body. If I still have some tinge of material desire, I will get another material body. A brand new, fresh material body without all of the problems that this one has. It's like an old car, you see, it has so many problems. But a new car, it runs very nicely. So I either get a new material body or I get a spiritual body. And either way, It's a very good thing, you see. It's like now, my body, you see, I have an old man's body, hard of hearing, I can't hear very well. But when this body is finished, Krishna will give me a body where I can hear everything very clearly and no problem. You see. So I have nothing to fear losing this body. It means my hearing will improve, that's all. So in this way, for a devotee, death is not at all a fearful thing. But if you base your happiness on your material body, foolishly base your happiness on your material body and your material possessions, and those things related with your material body, then you're going to be scared of death. You're going to be very, very afraid of death. So we tell you to give up your material attachment and to only be attached to Krishna. We're giving you the best advice you could ever give. Because material attachments means bondage. Means you're a prisoner. It means you remain in the prison of material existence. So do you want to be a prisoner? Or do you want to be a free citizen? You have a choice. You can be a prisoner in the prison house of material existence, being forced to be born, being forced to get sick, being forced to get old, being forced to die lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. If you want, you can have them. If you want to continue going on in the dream that material sense gratification will make you happy, Krishna will give you 8,400,000 different ways to try to enjoy your senses. You know that shloka? Jalajana valakshani stavala laksha vinshati krimayo ruddha sankhyaka pakshinam dashalakshanam trincha lakshani pashavaha chatur lakshani manashaha. This is given in the Vishnu Purana. That there are 900,000 types of aquatics. Jalaja navalakshani. Jala means water. And ja means birth. So jalaja means that creature that is born in the water. So that are the fish, the different types of fish, they are jalaja. Nava means nine, and laksh means 100,000. A lakh, yeah. In Hindi, even today in India, when they say lakh, it means 100,000. How many lakhs, if you ask a businessman, how many lakhs of rupees will you donate to the temple, you see? So in India they say lakhs. Yeah, so that comes from the Sanskrit. Jaladala Valakshani. 900,000 different types of aquatics. Stavara Lakshavinshati. Stavara means which remain in one place. So that's the plants and the trees. So there are 2 million. 20 lakhs. So there's Jaladala Valakshani, Stavara Lakvinshati, Krimayo Ruddha Sankhyaka. There are 1,100,000 different types of worms and reptiles. 1,100,000. 11 lakhs. And then Pakshinam Dashalakshanam. There are 1,000,000 types of birds. Trinsha Lakshani. Pashavaha, there are 3 million types of beasts, four-legged animals. And Chatur Lakshani, Pashavaha, Manashaha. There are 400,000 different types of human beings. We see only a few types on this planet, you see. Just like there are black people, there are oriental people, Indian, there's a few different types of human species we see on this planet. So where are the 400,000 types of human species? Does anybody know where the other ones are, all the 400,000? They're all over the universe. The scientists say there's only life here on this planet. They don't know what they're talking about. There are 400,000 different types of human beings. So out of all of these different types of bodies, you see, if you have one of these 400,000 different types of human bodies, you are most fortunate. Whether you're, whatever type of human body you have, it doesn't matter. That you have a human body, it is the greatest good fortune. Therefore, it is enjoined in the Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human form. You must utilize it to inquire about the Absolute Truth. But where is that training? What parents are teaching their children to inquire about the Absolute Truth? What school is teaching this principle? What government leader? What poet? What philosopher? See, only our Vedic philosophers are teaching. This is not being taught. If a small child asks his parents, what is the purpose of life? The parents say, don't worry about it now, just work hard and make good grades. You see? They will not encourage you. Even if you go to the priest in the church or the temple and you ask him, he won't know what to say. Because the modern day leaders don't have knowledge of the self. They do not have knowledge of the purpose of our existence. How can you have a meaningful life if you don't even know why you exist? It's a crazy society. I remember when I was a university student. I had one question and one question only. Why do I exist? But no teacher could tell me. You see? They would say, well, just study hard, make good grades. So you can get a good job and a good house and a good wife and a good car and a good kids and a good grave. A very fancy casket. What's the purpose of it? It didn't make any sense to me. I was an honor student. I was making very good grades in the college. I was a very top-notch student. But it didn't make any sense. Why am I doing this? It just didn't make any sense. And none of the teachers could answer to tell me why we should do all this stuff. It's only when I met the devotees of Hare Krishna movement that I got a decent, reasonable answer, you see. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was simply lost. I had no idea of why I existed. So this knowledge of the self, Atma Tattva, it is the most important thing. Because we don't even know who you are. If you don't even know why you exist, then what are you doing? You're simply serving your material senses. That's all you're doing. Can you be satisfied by serving your material senses? You may think you're satisfied, but you will never be satisfied. That's a fact. Never be satisfied. Why is that? Because the material senses are not you. They're just a covering. You see? So, why is it that we do not become satisfied simply by satisfying the covering? Just like you're right now, your body is there and you're wearing some clothing. Your clothing is a covering for your body. Just like I'm wearing this chadar, you see? Now let's say I'm really hungry. I'm really, really hungry, you see. I really want to have something to eat. So I become sad. If I take one bowl of soup and I dip my chadar in the bowl, I become happy. Will I get my hunger satisfied, you see? Just like if a businessman is wearing a tie, you see. And he goes for his lunch break. And he thinks, now I'll become happy. And he just sticks his tie in the bowl of soup. Well, did he get any nourishment? No, because he's only feeding the covering, the tie. Is it? He's not putting the food in his own belly, he's just putting it into the tie. So, all the men can sit up front. You can come sit here. Yeah. See, I'm practicing brahmacharya, you see. So I'm keeping a little protection for myself. All that being surrounded by the men, you see. So I don't become... My mind doesn't get attracted by the women, see. Lord Chaitanya, the women would offer him obeisances from a great distance. Even though he is God himself, he's showing the example. And see, if we get too close to the ladies, it is called butter and fire. So it is always good to keep a little insulation, keep the butter in a cool place. That is a protection, the Vedic culture. Even though there is all love between all the devotees, still out of respect we keep some little separation between the men and the women. So that we can not become disturbed by material desires. So that we can help each other go back, become pure devotees and go back to Godhead. This is called love. It's not hate, it's love. We respect each other. And we help each other to be Krishna conscious. So in this way, by focusing on the actual self, the spirit self within, through the art of connecting that individual self with the supreme self, we actually get the satisfaction that we crave. Just like a light bulb here, this lamp on the desk, for example. It's giving a very nice illumination now. Why? Because it's connected with the powerhouse. If you disconnect that light from the powerhouse by unplugging it, It gives zero illumination. So there must be a connection with the powerhouse. So there also is the original powerhouse of all of existence as well. Krishna says, I am that powerhouse. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mataksaram pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So do you want to be illuminated? Or do you want to be dark?
Is it?
If you want to be illuminated, you must connect with the powerhouse. So what is this system of connecting with the powerhouse? What is that wire that connects you with the powerhouse? That is called mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this Hare Krishna mantra, it is not ordinary sound vibration. Golokera Hari Nama. Golokera
Premadhana.
Yes. Golokera Premadhana Hari Nama Sankirtana. This Hare Krishna mantra, it is coming from Golok. It is a special, very special mercy. It's like when you're drowning in the ocean, they throw you one rope. From the ship, they will throw a rope with a lifesaver on it. You grab a hold of that lifesaver and they pull you out. So, Krishna has thrown us this rope. It's not an ordinary sound vibration. It is called transcendental sound vibration. If you grab a hold of this rope and you don't let go, then you will be pulled back to Krishna. So therefore it is advised to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. If you can't chant on your lips, then you should chant by your actions. Yat karoshi yad asnasi yad jahosi dadasi yat yat tapasya shikonte yat tat karushva mudarpanam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text number 27, whatever you do, whatever you eat, as well as whatever you offer or give away, and as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So one must learn this art. One must learn this art of perfectly dovetailing with Krishna 24 hours a day. Your every thought, your every word, your every deed, in all times, places and circumstances. And what does Rupa Goswami say about this? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu
1.2.187.
Ihasya yahir dashe karmana manasagara nikalasvapyavastaso jivan muktaso uchate. One who engages his body, who always engages his body, mind and words in the service of Lord Sri Krishna, jivan mukta sa uchate, is always a liberated soul in all situations. So my dear Prabhus and my dear Matajis, you have the opportunity to be a liberated soul at every minute. You can be a prisoner of this material existence, a conditioned soul, whose mind is programmed by materialistic leaders, or you can be a liberated soul who takes his directions from the great Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gatasya panta. The Vedas tell that you should follow this pathway, the great Mahajanas. Don't remain a slave of lust, a slave of greed, a slave of anger, a slave of madness, a slave of illusion, or a slave of envy. You become a liberated soul. Connect with Krishna through this chanting of his holy names and through always serving him in all times, places and circumstances, 24 hours a day. Then you'll be the happiest person in all of Kashyadesh. You'll be the happiest person in the whole universe. So now we can ask if there's any questions. Yes.
How to be always situated in Krishna consciousness and then attain steadiness.
Which is
how to always be situated in Krishna consciousness and be steady.
Be steady? Yeah. Rupa Goswami has very nicely described this process. Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangota Bhajana Kriya Tata Narto Navritishat Tato Nishta Ruchishtataha. In this way, he has described how to become steady. The steady state in Sanskrit is called Nishta. One becomes solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So there are a number of steps that lead one to the point of nishtha. The first step is you must have faith. You must have faith in this process. The second step is you must associate with the pure devotees. Those who are fixed in Krishna consciousness, they are pure devotees. The third step Rupa Goswami gives, you must become, it's called bhajana kriya, you must be initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. And execute the regulated principles of devotional service under his orders. The next stage is called anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti means that you become free of all your unwanted habits. And then at this point, after giving up your bad habits, you become firmly fixed in devotional service. So there's faith, association, initiation, purification, and then you become steady. So you go through those four steps and you become very, very steady. Pakka devotee, very solid. Nishtha.
How to get this faith in going back to Krishna? How to get the faith?
How to get the faith for going back to Krishna?
A very nice question, because the state after Nishta is called Ruchi. That's the next stage. So, how to go from Nishta to Ruchi? Ruchi means when you have the taste. So that is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. text, Arvinda Sai, chapter 2, text number 59. Vishaya veni vartante nirahara shadehina vashavarsham rishopyasya parang vishvani vartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment. Though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste. He is fixed in consciousness. So that higher taste is acquired by carefully avoiding the 10 offenses. You know those 10 namaparads? Are you familiar with those 10 namaparads? Do you know
those?
Do you know the 10 namaparads? Yes? Everyone? Do you know what they are?
She knows part of it. Those who raise their hands and know. Those who raise their hands and know.
And then you don't know. You raise your hand and then.
Who?
Does she know? I'm asking.
She says she knows part of it. Part of it.
Oh, that's your problem, Manaji. You don't know the 10 namaparads. You must get that list. You must study. Because as long as you're chanting with offense, you will not get taste. It's like taking a very nice cup of sweet rice. You have sweet rice in China? Sweet rice? And you add some sand in it, you see, it spoils the taste. You put some dirt in it, you see. It spoils it. So if you're committing namaparad, that means you're spoiling the taste. Anyone who will chant and carefully avoid these 10 offenses, that chanting will be sweeter than the sweetest honey. This is described by Rupa Goswami. Tunde tandamani riteng vitinute tundavali labdiye karna krodha kadamani gatiyate kunarvya debraspaham cheta prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyadvam amritai krishneti varnidvai. He says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, it dances in my mouth. And when that Krishna Nam is dancing in my mouth, oh, it's so sweet. I want millions of mouths. And then when that Krishna Nam comes into my ears, oh, there's so much nectar. I want to have millions and billions of ears so I can capture more of that nectar. And then when that Krishna Nam dances in the core of my heart, in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned in transcendental ecstasy. So you just have to avoid these 10 offenses. And then you will find that simply by uttering Krishna, you're tasting the ultimate glob jamun. Do you ever had a glob jamun before? No? No glob jamuns in China? You've had glob jamun. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
You like that glob jamun?
Yeah.
Do you have a taste for glob jamun?
Yeah.
Yes. So, just as you have taste for glob jamun, if you chant Hare Krishna without any offense, you will experience, now I have tasted the Ultimate gulab jamun Krishna.
如果一开始像冒犯了念诵圣名的话，你就会感觉到我现在终于品尝到了终极的gulab jamun，那就是Krishna.
And then not only will you have taste,
不仅仅有品味,
you become addicted to the name.
你就上瘾了，就放不下了。
You become just like a heroin addict. You see, he can't live without heroin. Heroin or you heroin? You know that heroin? We don't take heroin, of course. Or how about opium?
Oh, 鸦片, yeah. Okay.
An opium addict. He cannot live without opium. So, one who becomes absorbed in Namaruchi, he becomes totally addicted. He cannot live without chanting Hare Krishna. He's always chanting, either openly or within his heart, he's constantly chanting Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. Even in his sleep, he is chanting Hare Krishna. He cannot live. It is called divine intoxication. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, how much time do we have?
Huh? I brought the prasadam here, so everybody is taking prasadam.
Oh, there's going to be prasadam distribution also. Okay. All right, so I have a little, should I put the deities to rest now, or what should we do?
Yes, you could.
Huh?
You could.
I could? Mm-hmm. All right, so we can end the discussion, and then there can be some prasad distribution, and I can put Radha Damodar to rest. Okay. So we're so happy that you all have come. And I tell you, it's so wonderful to be here with all of you Kasha Desh devotees. I've always heard wonderful things. I remember when my godbrother was first instructed, Tamal Krishna Goswami was first instructed to come to Kasha Desh by Prabhupada. And I feel how much I have been blessed by Prabhupada and my Lord Chaitanya that I have been allowed to come here also to Kasha Desh. To see you all here practicing Krishna consciousness, it gives me the greatest joy in my heart. It makes me so happy to see you all practicing Krishna consciousness. So you have all my best wishes that you may all become perfect in Krishna consciousness. And that you can share this wonderful science with your brothers and sisters here. So they also can achieve this wonderful happiness. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.